There's too much of that long. I mean, they're telling stories all the way up, and there's too much to read to you in the time that we have. But I want to do a little bit about her going down into the valley and then her coming to the grave and realizing that that it's been untouched. And it sort of picks up the whole of the earlier story at that point. And Kalimana went to him and embraced him, laying his head against Kua's stomach, and then asked him if this was the stream now where it happened. "Where what happened?" Kua asked him. "Where they met the soldiers," Kalimana said. "This is the stream," Kua told him, "but this is not the place." Kalimana said, "Will you tell me the story once more, right here?" And they stood in a ring in the wind, listening to Kua tell of Lahi, the boy who ate birds, and his uncle Kanealohe, Slow Man. And he tells him that story. And after the story, it was then that Kua had led Kalimanu to the edge of the cliff, where the light rose from the valley, and had showed him those two rocks that were the children of Na'ivi, and said to him, "That is where the right trail goes down." And he pointed to a thread like a goat track following the knife edge of one of the fins out in the clouds. "That is the one that goes all the way," he said. "The others end in nothing." And he hugged the child and told him, "But it is not good to look back." Then he went to help them load themselves with the few things they would be carrying. Pi'ilani stood looking down at the clear water gliding in front of her toward the fall, its surface not appearing to move. She knelt in the wet moss to put her mouth to the cold pane and drink from it, with her eyes open at first, and then she closed them and plunged her head and hands into the unseen current for a long breath, overhearing the voices and the water talking. And then she sat up and ate a few pieces of taro and drank again, and lifted her head to stare at the face below her in the stream with the sky under it and the eyes burning from their dark places. She looked at it feeling that she knew nothing about it. And then she stood up in the day and walked to where the right trail disappeared over the edge into Kalalau. And as she comes down, as she finally comes down this terrifying trip down the cliffs, she remembers, of course, his dying before she buries him. And it was in the night that he had died, just as the ia, the fish, the Milky Way was turning, and Pi'ilani, after his breath had stopped, when his pulse was no longer there, had put her head down on his chest with her hair across his body and had listened to the darkness below her and the darkness above her, while the last embers of the small fire among the rocks at their feet went out and the cold of his hands deepened and her tears kept turning to cold when they ran down onto him. She heard the darkness of the mountain under her all the way to the underside of the streif of the seafloor, and through her hair she heard the night winds high in the valley rising and leaving, and she heard Oahu, Oahu, the cry of the petrels echoing in the cliffs, the stream whispering over the rocks, and the faint sound some said were crickets, and others said were land snails singing, and they were spirits. And when the wind was quiet, she could hear the sea far below her, where all the waves ended. She sat up in the dark and saw where the stars had come. She picked up a shell and started to pat it, rocking slowly forward and back, chanting under her breath. First she chanted to him by name, by the name that she had called him all her life, and already she could hear the difference. "Ko'olau, ko'olau, you are going. You are going now. You are still here. You are going. You are not sick anymore. You are not dying now. But if you want to come back, ko'olau, come back. Come back." Then it had been dark, and once more she had chanted to him, "Ko'olau, now it is night for me, and it is night for you. Now we are in the night, ko'olau, there is only night where we are." When the chant had ebbed in her breath, she had got to her feet and gone down to the stream again, stepping like a stranger, as though she were feeling her route through a rolling cloud. She had come to the water running cold from the cliff. She had heard it come up to her talking to itself, not to her, not to her even then, not to her yet. She had stepped down into it and knelt among the big stones, slipping between them. She had lain down among them, letting the breathless touch glide over her until she could feel it no longer, while the colorless syllables still hurried past her. She had got to her feet and followed the stream through the dark, knowing her way down the valley. It had been years since she had spoken to anyone except him, and in an earlier time, Kalemanu. But some who had lived in the valley had come back. People they had known once had come back, a few of them at a time. She had seen one or two of them approaching the floors of ashes that had been their houses, had seen new grass roofs later and backs in the taro ponds. She had heard the voices and slipped close to listen, and that night she could see small fires down in the valley near the East Headland, and she had wanted to be with people, but she had gone past the fires to where the current rattled across the shingle. She had felt the canoes drawn up there. She had walked slowly along the rocks to the white streamer unfurling on the tops of the low breakers, and she had sunk down into the night surf to be washed clean in the darkness. She moved cautiously to the grave, breaking nothing, making scarcely a sound until she could kneel beside the flat stone in the shadow of ferns and touch the green moss just above ground. There she waited. Birds were speaking in branches close to her, elapios, curious, not singing, and she waited, and then she lay down, breaking nothing, and put her ear to the ground and listened, as she did each time she came. And in one ear she heard the leaves and the birds in the branches, and in the other ear the one note of the mountain of Kane, the silence under the 40 forms, the darkness under the day. It had not changed, and she closed her eyes and was filled with it, and at last she stood up slowly, and with the same care went along to the cleft in the rock wall and the bushes of ule that had grown over the mouth of the low cave at the foot of the cliff where they had buried Kalemanu. The small green leaves were shining like eyes, and the white flowers were hiding among them, and slender branches were swaying slowly out over them into empty air, and she put her ear to the warm stone and stood listening there, then sat against the rock wall beside the ule and saw the shadow rising on the cliff and heard the birds that were not the ones Kalemanu had listened to, telling their day and its passing. And when she felt the shadow, she unwrapped the last of the cold taro and ate. And then she lay down and heard the sleep of the mountain. Thank you.